What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine crisis. Tyler Rogaway, the editor-in-chief of The War Zone at The Drive, introduces us to Robot 17 anti-ship missile system. This is from the Swedish Ministry of Defense, a $102 million package. Tyler, a very good evening to you. This is said to be an anti-ship system. I'm looking at what looks to be, early rocketry. What is it what I'm looking at now, and how does it work? Good evening to you.
Hey, John, great to be with you. And yeah, this is a very interesting system that is not widely known about, even in the defense community. And what it is really, it's a Hellfire missile, a derivative of the Hellfire missile, the same Hellfire missile that's carried on Apache attack helicopters, on MQ-9 Reaper drones. You know, we're very familiar with that system from years of anti-terror operations all around the world, so especially in the Middle East. But what happened here is they took the Hellfire missile, they adapted it with a few different changes, and created a mobile launcher that's something like a tripod almost that you can set up on a shoreline. And it uses the same laser designation that the classic Hellfire missile does that's fired by an Apache, where you use a laser, you paint the target with the laser a few miles away, and fire the missile. So a lot of times what we're hearing about this system, which is oddly named the Robot 17, it's a really random name for, you know, the Swedes have their own nomenclature that they use here, but it's a kind of a misconception of what it is. It is an anti-tank missile that has been adapted for shoreline coastal defense. So marine amphibious landings, small patrol boats that come close to shore within about 4 or 5 miles, this is the system that you could use to engage those. It is not an anti-ship missile that flies over the horizon and hits a large ship and damages severely or sinks it.
That's why it had this feel of early rocketry, that construction that it's sitting on with two soldiers sitting next to it. It's very modest size. It would be difficult to pick it out of the terrain. Is that an advantage?
You know, that's exactly a major point in the system. Because it's so mobile and it's small and it's a small team that operates this, they can move very quickly between different areas, set it up, move a mile down the coastline, and then, you know, reset it up again. So it's very hard to stop and to knock out unless you have real-time intelligence. So it is a fairly survivable, pretty rudimentary weapon, has some very, you know, clear limitations, weather and such. But for Ukraine, they now have the Harpoon, which is the first real long-range capability, standoff capability anybody has given them, which has about a 65-mile range that can hit a larger ship out at sea. And then this can provide an inner layer of defense, especially against a potential amphibious landing, where this would cause major havoc for any sort of landing craft coming toward the shore.
The Germans, an IRS stroke T air defense system, IRIS-T. What is it, Tyler?
Yeah, so this is a very interesting SAM system, surface-to-air missile system. It's not like widely deployed. It's fairly new. There's a few different versions of it, but the bottom line here is they took the IRIS-T air-to-air missile, which has a similar capability as our AIM-9X Sidewinder, fairly short-range missile. They do some modifications to it for a ground launch configuration, and then they package it with, you know, a pretty good radar and a really good command and control system, and it's fairly mobile. You can move it around pretty easily to different areas. Once again, fairly survivable, and it uses an infrared seeker. So the seeker on the missile isn't a radar seeking missile. The radar finds the target, but then the missile is actually given directions to the target via data link. The advantage of this is that the aircraft will not know it is being directly under attack of a service to air, of like a radar guided quality service to air missile, until it's too late. Unless it has certain sensors that can see it approaching on the infrared spectrum, it won't know it's coming. And overall, this is just, this would be the most advanced service-to-air missile system that Ukraine would have, with about a 25-mile range. So it's, it's an intermediate to medium-range system, but it's very capable, and it would be a major problem, not just for Russian war aircraft, their Su-35s and their, different fixed-wing aircraft and helicopters. But this system is very capable of shooting down cruise missiles as well.
It has an altitude, it can go to altitudes up to 12 miles. That means surveillance aircraft, anything that high. So we're looking at the Russians no longer being able to operate in Ukrainian airspace if these were deployed. Is that correct?
Yeah, especially around key target areas and cities. It would put up another layer that they're also not familiar with. They don't have the signatures of the radar systems as much as they do when they're fighting their own Soviet systems over there right now. The only thing with this situation is I think people don't realize that it's going to take time. These are being built for Egypt. I believe they're probably going to send the ones built for Egypt to Ukraine and delay the Egyptian deliveries. It's a very new system. And then you've got to train the Ukrainians not just how to use it, but how to sustain it in a combat environment, which is very tough. So it's months out. But it's key. People hear that. They're like, well, that doesn't help them. I disagree totally. We need to think about the future of what the Ukrainian military looks like, including, Western fighter aircraft, surface-to-air missiles, et cetera. Investing now, today, like starting today to get them trained on these systems, means it's one less day longer until they can actually deploy them. So we need to start now, and this is, I believe, what Germany's looking at, saying, okay, the long term here is in the months to come, we want to deploy a couple of these to the major threat areas in Ukraine.
Now, a redeployment of an Afghan Air Force Mi-17. I think it's cool because it's painted for the desert in Afghanistan, but except for that yellow and blue on the side, what can this do for the Ukrainians in the combat zone?
Yeah, we provided these helicopters. They're Russian-built Mi-17s, which is an Mi-8 tip that probably everybody's familiar with, but it's the export variant. A few differences, but this pretty much the same aircraft as an Mi-8. Ukraine already flies these, so they know how to operate them, they know how to sustain them, keep them flying, etc. But they've lost quite a few of them. So we had the opportunity, the U.S., after we left Afghanistan, there were Afghan Mi-17s in Ukraine already getting serviced to be delivered to Afghanistan. And, Ukraine was doing the contractor work where we were able to say, hey, just keep them because we don't have any use for them. And we're out of Afghanistan. We're not going to give them to Taliban. And then at the same time, we also had recovered a number of them and flown them back to the United States so that way the Taliban wouldn't have their hands on them. Instead of parking them in the desert and letting them rot, we have now transferred them to Ukraine. We're still in the process of doing this, which beefs up their utility aircraft fleet, helicopter fleet, pretty dramatically. But those helicopters are also capable of carrying rockets and guns, making them rudimentary gunships, which obviously there's a use for as well in that combat environment right now.
So they're not just using them for troop transport. They've converted them into gunships.
Yeah. The Afghans did too. They used them for both. It's very simple wing kit and system to make them into rudimentary gunships. Those helicopters, we believed, were used on those daring raids to the steel plant that was under siege that we're just learning about. And I believe that it's possible that some of the ex-Afghan Air Force helicopters were actually used by the Ukrainians to go and resupply their people there and get the wounded out. So just an interesting quirk in what is a very interesting, troubling, but interesting and quirky war so far.
Now the major weapon system, if I read this correctly, the U.S. is planning to sell MQ-1C Gray Eagle drones. It looks sinister. What does it do?
Yeah, so the Gray Eagle is the Army's version of something between a Predator, MQ-1 Predator, and a MQ-9 Reaper. It's like an in-between of the two. And so it's a larger, it's more powerful than an MQ-1, but it's not as large and powerful and as can carry as heavy as a payload as the Reaper can. No doubts about it. This is a fairly, advanced system. It's a man-in-the-loop system, so meaning that pilots fly it at all times. And it's really, for Ukraine, this system, it would be used for, picking out armor. It can attack that armor with Hellfire missiles. It can direct artillery fire, which is going to become a very – it's already a huge issue, but with other transfers, it's going to become even a bigger issue. The only thing about these aircraft that's puzzling is that they're not survivable. These aircraft are not made to survive on a battlefield's front lines. So exactly how they're going to be used and how much risk they'll take if they are delivered is yet to be seen, because they're vulnerable to, lower-end surface-to-air missile systems. They do have the ability to carry some electronic warfare capabilities that could help with that. Now, would we give them those capabilities because of the risk if they're brought down? I don't know. But it is not a highly survivable system. So we'll have to see how this is used, effectively, or if they're going to be used for to patrol other border areas, maybe the naval airspace. We don't know yet.
Then, when you say there's a man in the loop, this is what we used in theater, Iraq and Afghanistan, with an Air Force agent somewhere in a trailer somewhere, sometimes in airfields that were as far away as the U.S. Is that how they'll operate it? They'll have
exactly. Yes, 100%. The crew is at least there's a primary two-person crew usually. It can be operated by a single person with a specialized newer control station. But yeah, it's in a trailer, and usually you can use line of sight data link or use the satellite data link, and can really be controlled anywhere in the world. But there's always somebody physically flying the aircraft and employing the weapon systems. It's not semi-autonomous where you just tell it where to go. It looks in that area and you just get information. So it is a very much a man-of-the-loop system.
Tyler Rogoway is the editor-in-chief of The War Zone at The Drive. This is some of the arsenal heading its way to Ukraine. We'll discuss more in coming weeks, but right now, all four of these weapon systems look sinister and for the long term, not a short war. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.